blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, I'm purchased by God, born of His Spirit and washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. I'm watching and waiting and looking above, filled with His goodness and lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Thank you so much, Diana and Joyce and Mark, those who received the offering. Jim, back on the sound. Our purpose in life is to praise our Savior all the day long, whether it's a day when we're circumstantially down or whether it's a day when we're up on a mountaintop. Our purpose is not to please ourselves. If we seek to please ourselves, we will be miserable. Our purpose is to praise our Savior all the day long. 91 million Bibles distributed this year alone. Praise the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Since the Gideons began what year? put you on the spot. Quiz time for Earl. Gideon's began in 1899, started passing out Bibles in 1908. And what's the estimate of how many have been passed out in the whole history of the Gideons? Do you know that? I'm really putting you on the spot, Earl. I remembered from a pastor's meeting, it was 2.3 billion Bibles have been distributed in the history of the Gideons. That's amazing. You know, the Bible is the best-selling book in the world, and that doesn't even count what the Gideons do because they don't sell it. They give it away. So it's really the most prominent book in the world. Because we've been hearing from the Gideons today about the spread of the word, I want us to think for a few minutes, the next few minutes, about the source of the word again, and what an amazing, miraculous book we hold in our hands. The Bible, the term Bible means the book, and it is the Holy Bible because it is unique, set apart. It's like no other book. 40 human authors. Most did not know each other, and yet they wrote in harmony about God and man and sin and God's relationship to man. 40 human authors lived on three different continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa, were the human authors of the Bible. 40 different human authors wrote over 1,500 years with historical accuracy and harmony in what they wrote. That is a miracle book. 66 books in our Bible, 1,189 chapters, 31,173 verses, 774,746 words. Now, Earl, I'm going to make you repeat these to me in a minute. The quiz is going to... So I hope you're listening. You know, the longest book is Psalms. Psalms has 43,743 words. The shortest book in terms of words is 3 John, 299 words. The Lord, our God, Jesus Christ, is mentioned 14,000 times in the Bible. In terms of the term Lord or God or Jesus Christ, and I did not count the times that the Spirit or the Holy Spirit was mentioned. So that's 14,000 times Father and Son mentioned in the Bible. In terms of the people in the Bible, David is mentioned the most next to Jesus, 1,118 times. Moses next at 740. Abraham at 306. In the New Testament, Paul the Apostle is mentioned by name 185 times and Peter 166 times. Interesting stats. 23 of the 27 New Testament books quote from Isaiah. Isaiah is quoted in the New Testament 419 times. That helps us understand the unity between Old Testament and New Testament. The book of Revelation, at the end of our Bibles, contains material from 32 of the 39 Old Testament books. That's the miracle of the unity of our Bible. The last book of the Bible sums up not only the New Testament, but the Old Testament by referring to the Old Testament in 32 of the 39 books. The revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ through John, and as the Lord Jesus gave his revelation to John, he chose to refer to 32 of the Old Testament books that are his word. In fact, Jesus said, and we don't have time to look at all these references, so we'll look up a few, but I want to quote some. Jesus said in Luke 24:27 that the Old Testament is scripture. Jesus also said that the New Testament, which would be written, is scripture too. In Matthew 24:35, he referred to his own words as recorded in the Gospels and in the book of Revelation. And he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The word of Jesus is an eternal word from God. Jesus also said that what the apostles would write is scripture. In John 16, Jesus made it clear that the Holy Spirit would give to the apostles, his disciples, the words to write so that they would continue the message. In 2 Peter 3, 1 Corinthians 2, Colossians 4, 1 Thessalonians 5, on and on it goes, testimony to the fact that what the apostles wrote was the very word of God. Most of us know it by heart. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is inspired by God. Say that with me. All scripture is inspired by God. Let's say it again. All scripture is inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3:16. That word inspired is theopneustos. It means God breathed. Literally, the Bible is the breath of God. It's the voice of God. Its source is God. All scripture, Old Testament, New Testament alike. I want you to open your Bibles with me to 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul said in Galatians 1 that the message that he preached and the message that he wrote was not man-made, but he received it from the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he says the same thing again, commending the believers at Thessalonica. This is a powerful verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, what it has to say about the Word of God. Paul writes, and we also thank God continually, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Paul is thanking believers for believing the gospel and believing the message of Paul that he preached and that he wrote, because he says it actually is the word of God and not just the word of men, and I commend you for believing that. So this morning together we've recited all scripture is inspired by God. If you didn't just recite that, but you really believe it, Paul would commend you too, because you have received Genesis through Revelation, not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God. This is a powerful verse. You say, wow, Paul had some kind of self-confidence, didn't he, that he would call his communications the very word of God? If you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, you'll find 2 Peter at the end of your, near the end of your New Testament. Peter said, we didn't follow cleverly devised tales. We didn't make this stuff up. Paul said the same thing in Galatians 1. We'll see Peter saying it in a moment. But Paul said that the communication that he gave for Christ was actually the word of God and not the word of men. Peter endorses the same idea here. 2 Peter 3:15. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul. Peter's writing about Paul, 2 Peter 3:15. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. Peter says when Paul speaks for the Lord and writes for the Lord, he's writing with God's wisdom, the Lord's wisdom. It's from God. Look at verse 16, 2 Peter 3. Peter says, Paul writes the same way in all his letters. We have 13 letters from Paul in the New Testament. Paul writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand. Thank you, Peter. That's right. Paul writes a lot of things that are easy to understand. But as you go through the book of Romans, like we've recently done on Thursday nights, there's some difficult things to grasp. Peter agrees with that. Paul writes some things that are a bit hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people will distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. What is Peter saying? Peter is saying when Paul writes under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he is writing from the Lord. He is writing the wisdom of the Lord. He is writing from God, and he is writing scripture. Isn't that amazing? Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, what I give you is the word of God. Peter says what Paul gives you is holy scripture. It's the word of God. Now, how does that happen? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. We're doing this devotional today on the scriptures because we have Gideon guests and we're thinking about the spreading of the word of God. So we're thinking about the source of the word of God and why it's worth spreading. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, Peter writes this from the Lord. Above all, kind of important, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. It wasn't Isaiah by himself. It wasn't Jeremiah by himself. It wasn't Ezekiel or Daniel by themselves. Verse 21. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, borne along by the Holy Spirit, as they were inspired and superintended and directed by the Holy Spirit. Peter's writing about inspiration. Paul wrote what we quoted, all scriptures inspired by God. Let's say it again. All scripture is inspired by God. Paul wrote that. And Peter says, no scripture, no prophecy in the Bible had its origin in man's imagination. But these 40 human authors on three different continents over 1,500 years, most of them never knew each other, were inspired by God to write a harmonious and holy revelation from God that we call the Holy Bible, the book, the book. And Jesus said of the book, heaven and earth is going to pass away someday, but my book will never pass away. Amen. What does inspiration mean? Definition. The inspiration of the Bible means this: God's superintending of human authors so that using their own individual personalities, they composed and recorded without error God's revelation to man. If you read John, it sounds different than Paul. If you read Paul, it sounds different than Luke. If you read Luke, it sounds different than Moses. God used individuals and he used their own talents in their own time, but God so superintended by his Holy Spirit that they wrote his word without fail. It doesn't mean that the human authors weren't sinners saved by grace like you and me, but when it came to writing the original autographs, they were inspired by God to write it accurately and authoritatively. Listen to the testimony of Moses. Exodus 20:31. Moses said, and God spoke all these words. Moses wrote the first five books of your Bible. And what did Moses say about it? God spoke all these words. Is Moses lying? Did Moses make it up? He said, God spoke all these words. How about David in 2 Samuel 23? David said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. David wrote huge amounts of the biggest book of the Bible, Psalms. And what did David say about that? The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. He said the same thing Peter said and Paul said. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. Jeremiah says this, the Lord touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. Jeremiah ministered for 40 years. He said, God gave me the word I preach and the word that I write. The Lord touched my mouth and said to me, I've put my words in your mouth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:37, what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. Paul says, 13 letters recorded in our New Testament, I wrote them by the Lord's command. Are these guys lying to us? Are they all just making it up? You have to decide that. But I'll tell you, whether any individual man or woman or youth believes the Bible or not, it doesn't change the Bible one bit. But you've still got to decide that for yourself. So, Moses, David, Paul, Peter, Jeremiah, all said it's from God. Do you believe them or not? Then listen to Jesus himself. Matthew 4:4, in answering the temptations, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Jesus quoted the Old Testament in answer to the temptations of the evil one. Jesus knew and stated that the Old Testament that he quoted in Matthew 4 was from the mouth of God. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus also said in John 10:35 that the scriptures cannot be broken. Jesus said you can't break the Bible. It will not fail. Thy word is truth, John 17:17. And look at Matthew 5:17-18, which we had the privilege of doing last Thursday night in our midweek Bible study because we got done with Romans and now we're going through Matthew. Matthew 5:17-18. For those of you that were here Thursday night, a rerun is good for all of us. Matthew 5:17-18. Look at what Jesus says about Scripture. Not only thy word is truth, not only the scriptures can't be broken, not only it's from the mouth of God. Matthew 5:17-18, the Sermon on the Mount. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. That's why our Bibles today still have the Old Testament. Jesus did not come to abolish the Old Testament. He came to fulfill the Old Testament, its prophecies, its promises. Look at verse 18. I tell you the truth. Whenever Jesus says, "Verily I say unto you," or "I tell you the truth," heads up, heads up. Peter flagged it, remember, when he was talking about the Holy Spirit led the human authors. He said, above all, you've got to understand. Above all, you've got to understand this about the Bible. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth." Get this. "Until heaven and earth," verse 18, Matthew 5, "disappear," which they will someday, "not the smallest letter." That's the jot. That's the yod. That's the dot on an I, if you will. "Not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen." Not a tittle. Not the least stroke of a pen. An example of that, and I said this Thursday night, make a capital P in your mind. See, I just did it. Capital P. I even made it backwards so you could see it right. Let me see if I can do that left-handed. Wow! I did it left-handed and backwards. I will not be like Gene Gibbs and say the alphabet backwards. I cannot do that. Here's the P. What's the tittle? What's the least stroke? It's when you make a capital P into a capital R and you add a slash. Capital P, you make it into a capital R, you add a slash at the bottom right. That's the tittle. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." The Bible will be fully accomplished. Not one letter will fail. The Bible cannot be broken. John 10:35. We are so blessed. We have this book that tells us where we came from and where we're going and why we're here. Praising my Savior all the day long. That's why we're here. We know where we came from. We know where we're going. We know why the world is here and why we're here. We've got this book that can't fail. Psalm 119, "Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven." Well, we got 2.4 Gideon Bibles spread over the earth since 1899. We got it the best-selling book in the world, but that's not all. The Bible is forever settled in heaven. Wow! Psalm 119. And therefore, if you'll turn with me to Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, we're on the last page of the Bible, so I guess we'll stop after this. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. "Because the Bible is forever settled in heaven, and because it cannot be broken, and because not one letter will fail, as given in the original autographs under inspiration of the Holy Spirit to 40 human authors, we are told this very straightforwardly and sternly." Verse 18, Revelation 22. "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book." Narrowly speaking, it's speaking of the book of Revelation. Broadly and accurately speaking, it's speaking of the whole Bible. This is on the last page of the whole Bible. "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book." The Bible is a single book from God. "If anyone adds anything to these words, God will add to him the plagues described in this book." Verse 19, "And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and the holy city, which are described in this book." And at the end of the Bible, God says, through John the Apostle, "Don't mess with my book. Don't you add to it. Don't you take away from it. I have revealed it through 40 human authors over 1,500 years. Don't mess with my book. We're to preach the word. We're not to add to it. We're not to take away from it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Universally speaking, heaven and earth will pass away. The Bible will never pass away. Universally speaking, thy word is forever settled in heaven. But personally speaking, God help me to wipe the dust off my Bible and to read it and to pay attention to it. Not just when I'm in church, but every other day of the week. Because of what it is, because of what we've been talking about. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's personal. It's not just established in heaven. It's given to me to feed on it and to eat it every day. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And Lord, make me quick to be in it and make me quick to share it. Amen. Let's say it again. All scripture is inspired by God. Let's say it again. All scripture is inspired by God. Lord, thank you for revealing your holy word to us. Thank you for the great gospel of the great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried. He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures and appeared to many. Thank you for the good and great news of the gospel. Lord, thank you that we can receive it by faith, and thank you that we can believe you and believe your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can share it with others. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to do that. And Lord, bless the Gideons as they get your word out worldwide. And thank you for your blessing upon them. And Lord, thank you for each of us who are believers, who trust your word. Thank you that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And Lord, we thank you that 14,000 times in this Bible, you talk about yourself and you tell us about yourself. We praise you for that. Praising my Savior all the day long. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Earl and Robert are going to be standing by the back wooden doors as you leave in a few moments with open Bibles. Don't feel pressured, but if you want to give, so that more Bibles can be distributed, you can give them an offering in their Bibles. Earl and Robert, if you'd like to go on back, that'll be great.
Let's all stand, please. Take out your hymn book to 533, please. Jesus Calls Us or the Tumult, 533.
Jesus calls us or the tumult, Umlar lies, wild, restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us by thy mercy, Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thee.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God from Genesis to Revelation. Amen and amen. Have a great day in the Lord. We'll see you soon.